So if you read the Random House Guide to Good Writing over the weekend, then you saw that the author discussed some points that we've discussed in the last 2 weeks, and he also extended the discussion. For example, he talked about how one author, whom he quoted, created interest in his topic by the way he structured his sentences. He talked about how the sentences could have been structured in one or two other ways, but how the author captured the most interest by the way he wrote those sentences. So that leads us into the direction that we want to go, which is how do we edit in such a way that we create the most interesting or the best writing possible. Does anybody have any questions, first of all, on the reading that we did over the weekend? Pages 50 to 60 were a review, and then there was a test, a three-page chapter that included a test. And then there was this Random House Guide to Good Writing. Any questions on that? Oh, yes? I'll write it down and I can get it copied so that your book is complete. What page is it? Okay. Was that part of the Random House Guide? I'm sure you have to order them, special order them. They'll get them from England if you special order them. Well, then they'll get them from somewhere. They have some wholesalers deal with American companies. I haven't tried myself, but I'm sure you can do it if you're patient. Otherwise, have somebody come in from America, bring them. You're missing 69? Are you missing some? Are you missing any pages? Oh, make a list of them. Make a list of them, and then we'll either copy them or we'll find them. This often happens. Here's a 48 you can have. That was one of the tests. Ishojan, here's 65. Which one are you missing? Which one are you missing? You have an extra of 68. You have an extra of 67? You need 67. Well, I can give you 67 from here. I have an extra copy of the whole thing. Krishna Priya gave back her. And I'll get... Yes, but somebody wants it, so I already have it promised to somebody. But I'll copy... You only have until 68? Oh, yeah. You were missing on Friday. We went through pages 50 to 58 or so during the class. We went through them quickly, though, and I asked the students to review them, read them again, pages 50 to 59, and then for homework, I wanted you to do 59 to 61. There's a short test on 61. 62. The Random House Guide to Good Writing is 62 to 71. Does anybody have any questions on that? That I wanted you to read also as homework. So read 50 to 70. One. If you can catch up by reading 50 to 71, that would be good. Well, you can decide for yourself after you read it. Read it and see what you think of it. See if it's not bad. It's not bad. It was written very recently. It's very accessible because it's written within the last 5 years. And read up to 71. Yeah, those are the sections that you missed either Friday or the homework that you missed. Okay. On page, I have a correction on page 76. If you could turn to page 76, I'll give you a correction that should be there. On page 76, I'd like to give a correction. That's all right. You can get it later. Just note down that you have to correct something on 76. Okay, under the Department of Rules, Models, and Examples, the third example, half of the apples were rotten to the core, should be half the apples. Of should not be there. And the rest of it, not half the apples. Actually, that's correct. Half the apples is correct. If you read the Random House Guide to Good Writing, you came across this rule. He says use the construction half of when you're using a pronoun, like half of them. But when you're using something concrete, like apples, then you just say half the apples. Okay, today we want to go through a short transition on our way into some actual editing assignments. I just wanted to go through pages 72 to 83. Here are those pages, Rasmundo, you can look at them. I just want to give you an idea of what is here. In these miscellaneous notes, I've made 4 pages of miscellaneous notes. These are just things that I collected that, I wanted to keep somewhere. I didn't have any place to keep them, so I put them here. Some of it is repetition. We've already talked about defining and non-defining clauses. This example on page 72 is from Jayadvaita Swami's course. Then I've given meanings of a couple of words, demean and deprecate. An editor has to understand verbal abuse. We studied verbal abuse on Thursday. So there's some background there. Sometimes you can dig up a note on a word, how it's changed in meaning. That's what these two are. These are examples of how these words have changed in meaning. We've gone through also due to. We've talked a little bit about when to use the words due to. There's some more notes on that here. Effective and efficient, a clarification, a distinction between the meanings. Effective means doing the right thing. Efficient means doing things right. Different definition. Kavi, you were asking about the word pay last Friday. I think you were saying, why isn't it the word payment? I don't remember the page that was on, but I thought about it some more. And I was trying to impress on you the point that pay means cash, the actual money. You get the money. There was some sentence we were analyzing about pay. So that's a very concrete thing. You get the pay. In English, that means the cash, the money, the bills. Payment is more abstract, I realized after class. You could say payment, but it's an abstraction, actually. They may get a payment, but then you're talking about the thing that they get. Aha. Aha, yeah, yeah. They get a payment. Right. Yeah, right. That's true. Might be better to describe it as payment in that sense. Okay, the bottom of page 72, there's a Very, very short reminder about logic. I've just given you four propositions. These are the four main types of logical propositions. All devotees are saints, no devotees are saints, some devotees are saints, and some saints are not devotees. If you really get into logic, that's... That's a topic that you could spend a day on in itself. If you're interested in logic, that's good. You should be able to logically analyze sentences if you're an editor. You should be able to understand whether they make whether an argument makes sense. So to do that, it helps to know something about logic. I have a very good book that has a good section on logic. And if you're interested, we can spend a little time on logic. You like that idea? It's philosophical. It's kind of a branch of philosophy. So it's helpful to study logic along with grammar and rhetoric. I think we'll have to see. We'll have to see if we'll have time. Why don't we do like this? We'll put it in what they call the parking lot, and then we know it's in the parking lot, and we can go back to it if we have time. It's hard to find good sections on logic. Anyway, I have a book that has excellent section on logic, and I have to show it to you at some point, I think. Spend a little time on it. Next, page 73, modem. I bet most of you don't know what the word modem means, but here's explained. Modulated MO information comes out of the computer and goes into the phone line, and demodulated DEM information goes back into the computer from the phone line. The carrier is therefore called a modem. So that's how the computer word modem came about. Now everybody uses the word. Everybody uses a computer. The not because section you can look at on your own. It's a little complicated. This is from Jaidwaita Swami's course. It's hard to understand. In one sense, you have to puzzle over it. I don't want to spend time on it. It just shows you how difficult sometimes sentences can be because of the way they're constructed, the negative elements in the sentence. The comma can make a difference. If you have a specific question on it, I can try to answer it. But formulate your question. You thought it meant he never went. But it could mean sometimes he went for a different reason. It depends on how you say it. You could say about someone that he never went because he was devoted to the deity. He never came because he was devoted to the deity. He came to sell cigarettes. He came to sell bidis. So it's tricky. It's tricky. You have to maybe have the context, and just because of the way these are structured, it becomes difficult. So look out for those. Passive tense is next. Passive we already read about. There was a page on passive earlier last week. Here's a little more information. And then here's some tips on word use also. Page 74. When you have a sentence in under abbreviation, I'm reading, when a sentence ends with an abbreviation like PM, don't use another period after it. It's 8 PM. That's all. That period after M stands for the end of the sentence. Acronym. The first time you use an acronym, put it in parentheses after the word it stands for. After that, use it on its own. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON, now has more than 300 centers. When ISKCON began, its only center was in New York. In other words, don't use it without telling the reader what it stands for. Therefore, the first time you use it, you should give the full explanation. When to capitalize, that's something you have to work on. There's a lot of suggestions, not here, but in guided usage manuals, there's a lot of suggestions about when to use capital letters. Here's the note on compose and comprise that I mentioned I'd tell you when we came to it. Last week we were talking about the difference between compose and comprise. Here's a simple guideline. All the parts compose the whole. And the whole comprises all the parts. So that's the correct usage. Here's something called dummy elements. Examples of dummy elements or empty words are it and there. Used like this. It's raining. It's 5 o'clock. We made it. That's it. There's someone here. You can find, what is that book? The Oxford Dictionary of Grammatical English, I think. It analyzes all the parts of grammar and speech and tells you how the grammarians talk about them. This is an example. You can find lots and lots of discussion of grammar and parts of speech in the Oxford Dictionary of Grammar. Or I'm not sure if I have the right title, but it's something like that. Initials at the bottom, space, that's a verb, space punctuated triple initials, like O period space, B period space, L space period space, Kapoor. But not TKG if it's all together. There's another rule about two initials. Here you have triple initials, and when you have two initials, like AC, Bhaktivedanta, Swami Prabhupada, A period space, C period space. It just looks better than if you put them together. We'll come to that again when we come to the ISKCON style sheet. More miscellaneous notes. Let's see. 72. Now we're up to 75, huh? Italics, no italics on the Bible or Quran. You can yourself make miscellaneous notes like this. When you're learning about editing, keep a notebook and keep a collection of things you are learning. Misconception. Here's a misconception partway down the page. Purport, the noun, is pronounced purport. No, it is stressed on the first syllable. Purport. So you can listen and see if the speaker in the Bhagavatam class gets it right. Some examples of non-personal genitive. This is another example of how grammarians talk about this particular kind of word, using an apostrophe S for something that's not a person, like the machine's parts. Older English. Here's some old English and contemporary English compared to give you an idea of how the language changes. English spelling. English is famous for erratic spellings. Also, the pronunciations differ. Sometimes words are spelled the same, not pronounced the same. Some guidelines on writing. Page 76. Here's a good suggestion, recommended reading. Page 76 at the top, the former conference on Pam Ho, called Gita Revisions Explained, is helpful to any editing student. Jayadvaita Swami posted 65 texts that explain how he revised the Gita. Also, if you're interested, see the Oxford Companion to English entry on Indian English. Okay. And Department of Rules, Models, and Examples. At the bottom, there's a good example. Here's an imaginative literary use of an idea in Srila Prabhupada's books. The Bhagavad Gita says there's always some fault that covers an endeavor. So here's an idea that the author took to phrase the acknowledgments, to write about the acknowledgments in her book. This is from a book by Vishakha entitled The Song of God. I like this. She said, some sort of fault covers every endeavor, Krishna says, and this endeavor, meaning her book, would have been covered by many more faults had it not been for the clear-headed help of, and then she names people who were helping her out. Nice creative use of something you've read in Prabhupada's books. How to recognize good writing? I won't go into that, I don't think, right now. You can read that on your own. Some ideas of how to recognize good writing. Editors should know what is good writing. So check it out. Page 77, I've given you some examples of British versus American spelling. Watch out for these, especially in India. You'll get manuscripts that have British spellings in them. And if you're trying to make them American English, you have to catch them. Catch them. There was one in the Indian newspaper. I looked at the newspaper the other day. This is the word neutralize. Neutralize in British spelling is spelled with an S. And in, or, excuse me, in English, American English is spelled with a Z. But in British English, it's spelled with an S, neutralize. It's slightly different than this example, the fourth example, exercise and exercise. There it's given American. It depends on whether it's a noun or a verb, I guess. That's the reason it's different. When it's used as a verb, then the British English would say neutralize, N-E-U-T-R-A-L-I-S-E. Notice that's an I-Z-E word also, neutralize. We were talking about I-Z-E words. Novelized is another one. This book, The Legend of Beggar Vance, that we talked about, that's a novelized retelling of the Bhagavad Gita. The author has novelized the ideas in the Bhagavad Gita. Whether you want to use the word novelized, I don't know. It's up to you, I suppose. Patricia O'Connor was not in favor of these I-Z-E words. But at the bottom of this page, 77... There's a good joke by President Andrew Jackson. For those of you who have difficulty spelling, remember this quotation by President Andrew Jackson. It's a damn poor mind that can think of only one way to spell a word. Okay, 78. We have some guidelines on when to double or not to double a final consonant after you add an ending like ed or er or ing. There's three guidelines, and then you this is from that book Action Grammar. Action Grammar teaches you interesting ways to do things. So the author there has given you some guidelines, and you can apply them and test the word. Let's take her example. The guidelines are the word ends in a single consonant, two, the consonant is preceded by a single vowel, and three, the accent is on the last syllable, or the word has only one syllable. Now, apply the test. Consider the word commit. Is it committed with a single T or committed with two T's? Number one, the last letter is a single consonant, T. Two, the consonant is preceded by a single vowel, I. And three, the accent is on the last syllable, committed. Therefore, it gets a double T. Using this system with refer produces the same result, but travel does not meet our third criterion. The accent is on the first syllable, travel. Therefore, the correct word is traveled with a single L. Page 79. Notes on a few words used by Prabhupada. This you can do on your own also. You can keep a file on the words used by Prabhupada. You can look them up. You can you can see how he used them in other contexts, and you can make notes on them. I've listed the words absolute, which I looked up in the dictionary. By chance, I cross-referenced it with other various explanations that he gives of the word. Cynosure of all eyes, I found a historical reference for. Illusion, delusion, philosophical words, what's the distinction? Part and parcel, I found a historical reference. I want to talk about this too when we come to the BTG style sheet today, part and parcel. So let's read this one. Fowler says, Fowler is a British expert. He wrote about 100 years ago, though. Fowler says that part and parcel means an essential part of something, not just a part. So we'll come back to that later when we look at the BTG style sheet today. Permutations. Prabhupada uses this word in the Bhagavatam's descriptions of material creation. It's not just a combination. It's a particular mathematical combination. And you can find out just by using the dictionary what its meaning is in mathematical language. So here's a word like the word parameter. We discussed the word parameter last week. That has a specific mathematical meaning to it. And people have adopted it for ordinary vocabulary. And permutations has also made it into this discussion of the material creation. It can be used as long as you know what you're talking about. So that's explained. Page 80 and 81, pages 80 and 81. This is a humorous article called Why English is So Confusing. You can read this on your own. This was contributed by Ananda Tirtha to the editing conference on Pam Ho. Ananda Tirtha is Jayadvaita Swami's protege. He's studying editing under him right now. I don't know where he picked this up. I guess from some place on the internet. Page 82 is a page photocopied from Patricia O'Connor's book, Woe Is I. It's her guidelines for writing email. 81, where did it go? What's on 81? Oh, well, that's part of this. That's part of why English is so confusing. Okay, now we come to 83. This is where we want to go. This is the direction we want to go in today. This is from a book called Edit Yourself. You should check 83. What about it? That's email language by Patricia O'Connor. How to use email language. Okay, 83. He says, this is just a short summary that he provided. You should check the use and the usefulness of each word, phrase, sentence, paragraph, and section. If you do not have the time for such a task, at least check a few basic things. So you should be thorough. That's helpful. If you're an editor, you should be thorough. You should check everything twice. But if you don't have time, at least do these things. Check all spelling, hyphens, capitals, numbers, and important names and terms against your style sheet. So that's as far as I'll go on his list today, because that's where I want to start today with ISKCON's style sheet on page 84. Please turn to page 84, 85. You don't have them? Let's see if there is. Well, that's okay. You can catch up. You can read this stuff.
Oh, I have only to up to 83.
Oh, you didn't bring it all?
Yeah,
oh, yeah. So you have to look on with somebody. Yeah, yeah. Rasmandal, these are yours. Okay, we have here... the latest example of something printed by ISKCON, basically for an ISKCON audience or the congregation and a few members of the public, maybe something that... This is the invitation prepared for last Friday's program in Noida. It's an invitation inviting you to attend the cornerstone laying ceremony at the Radha Govinda Mandir and Bhaktivedanta Vidya Pit. So we'll analyze it. Let's look at the style sheet guidelines and see if we can apply them to this invitation. These simple standards of spelling, form, and usage are meant to help ISKCON devotees maintain a respectable quality when they produce mantra cards, booklets, invitations, and so on. So these are in alphabetical order. The first one does not apply to this invitation. It's a recommendation not to use the word benedict. Book titles doesn't apply here either. You can skip that. Ndidi, it's not an invitation to a ceremony connected with the deity, so that doesn't apply here either. But notice that there's a spelling guideline here. The deity never dies, so don't write D-I-E, deity, spelled D-I-E. In the last 30 years, usually this word deity has been capitalized. But that's changing. Now back to Godhead is making deity lowercase. Why? You have to ask Nagaraj. I didn't ask him myself. I talked to Krishna Kshetra about it. He agrees that it's a good idea because deity usually refers to the Murti. But we use it sometimes to refer to the Absolute Truth, Supreme Personality of Godhead. I have to write to Nagaraj. I didn't write to him to get his explanation.
There used to be a standard that if there are several deities, and which one of them
is not Vishnu Tattva. Like Jagannath, Baladeva, and Subhadra. Subhadra is not Vishnu Tattva. Okay, the main... All right, let's not get off the track, gentlemen. Attention, attention. Please, let's return our attention to the discussion at hand. We want to discuss Hare Krishna Ras Mandal. This is over. We want to discuss the founder Acharya. His Divine Grace AC, notice that there's a space between A and C. His Divine Grace AC, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, is the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Not just founder, and not just Acharya, but founder-acharya. On all ISKCON letterheads, documents, pamphlets, checks, invitations, mantra cards, etc., Srila Prabhupada's name should appear, and he should be identified as founder-acharya. This is a direct, often repeated instruction from Srila Prabhupada himself. So if you don't want to risk being offensive, don't neglect it. So we have it here. On the invitation, there's some more guidelines. Let's look at them. Use a colon after the title, founder Acharya, colon. Use a single space between the initials A and C. If you're using anglicized spellings, Acharya's A-C-H is all right. And on your own manuscripts that you're working on, you can use an in-house acronym, H-T-G-A-C-B-S-P. As shorthand, to indicate that later you have to spell that all out. Founder and Acharya should both be capitalized and they should be joined by a hyphen, exception when these titles do not need to be capitalized when they appear simply as words in a sentence, as the founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada took charge of ISKCON. So we don't have that on this invitation. The first thing we have at the top is ISKCON in a lotus. So that's nice. There's ISKCON, the acronym. And then right underneath it, it's spelled out. International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But the word consciousness is not capitalized C. All the rest are. International Society for Krishna, and consciousness has a lowercase c. So it wasn't proofread. For should be lowercase. The word for. Okay, then we have second line, founder acharya, colon, is divine grace. But there's many mistakes here on these small points. There's no hyphen between founder acharya. Okay? Acharya is spelled out in the romanized form, A-C-H. That's okay, A-R-Y-A. But it's not capitalized. There's no hyphen connecting it. Then I've got his divine grace, A period, no space, C period, no space again. So you have A-C, Bhaktivedanta, all next to each other. Swami, Prabhupada without an A at the end. This comes up under the name Prabhupada on the next page. Note that the final... Under Prabhupada on the next page, note the final A. Don't write just Prabhupada without an A. Prabhupada's formal name is as follows, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Then there's a lot of notes here that you can read about this. Okay. Then we have this. The devotees and steering committee of Sri Sri Radha Govind. Govinda, the A is not there. Govind. Sri Sri Radha Govind. There's also no hyphen between Radha and Govinda. Usually you do that. You usually hyphenate Radha Govinda. And the Bhaktivedanta Vidyapit. You have Bhaktivedanta in cap, but Vidyapit, the V, is lowercase. I think that should have been capitalized, because it's the name of a building. It's the name of this new building. The devotees and steering committee takes pleasure. What is takes? Takes is a singular verb. But you have a plural subject. The devotees and the steering committee. That's two items. Devotees is already plural. Steering committee is singular. Is this a case where because you have a singular noun, then the verb becomes singular? No. The devotees in the steering committee takes pleasure. Take should be take. Take pleasure in inviting you. It should be to the auspicious occasion of the stone-laying ceremony. But they have on the auspicious occasion of the stone-laying ceremony of their new temple project. No period. The sentence ends, but there's no punctuation point. The guest of honor. Honor is spelled British spelling, naturally. H-O-N-O-U-R. You would expect that. Then there's extra space between the next word and extra space after the next word. The guest of honor for this gracious is capitalized, occasion, is Mr. Ashok Pradhan. He's the Minister of State, but his title is a combination of capital letters and lowercase letters. Minister is capitalized, state is lowercase. Minister of State for food and so on. The occasion will be blessed by Lokanath Swami, but it's L-O-K-N, no A. Lokanath Swami. Hindi, this is done by somebody. Yeah, okay, Loknath. And Govind is Govind. Okay, so it's Hindi influenced. Now I know why. I didn't know why. Now I know. So this, of course, took place on Friday. This took place on Friday, no space. No, Friday, comma, no space, 26, as I've written here. It also took place at plot number no space A hyphen 5 comma no space section no period for the abbreviation SEC. Section is supposed to be abbreviated with a period. It's not. Hyphen 33 no comma, just space, section 33 noida. That might be okay. No space opposite, there's a parenthetical explanation next to noida, but there's no space there. Like that. Program, kirtan, and invocation by ISKCON, all the letters in ISKCON should be capitalized, not just the I. Okay? Then at the back, you have Srila Prabhupada's picture, no identification who he is, but it's assumed that you know. It might have been nice to put His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada or something like that. He built a house in which the whole world can live, no period at the end, but quotation marks. Who said it? We don't know. Somebody said it. They don't refer to Srila Prabhupada as a guy. That's an offense. They may think. And then who is he talking about? He built a house. Is this... Theoretically, you think, well, this is something this person said, like he said. It's not very well, you know, thought out. Then there's more problems down here, but, you know, you can imagine the same kind of problems. Spacing problems. Sunday has no capital letter, but Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday have capital letters in the line above. Pretty sloppy. Because it's meant to be read what? Well, yes, ISKCON apostrophe S, that's okay. ISKCON's Mandir, Sri Sri Radha Govinda Mandir and Bhaktivedanta Vidya Pit in Noida. There's a picture of that, so that's okay. So that's style sheet. What else is on the style sheet? International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we covered ISKCON. So then at the bottom of page 85, you know, you get, there's some things pointed out here. Consistency, be consistent, use your punctuation properly, use your spelling, and so on. Okay, check it out. Next thing we want to do is pages 86, 87. I brought the most recent back to Godhead. This is the September-October issue. Very beautiful cover showing Vrajmunda Parikram, devotees and deities. Really good cover. Nice picture by Nishinga Kavacha. He did all the pictures for this article. Let's look at some of these current guidelines in the style sheet. Holy name. Holy name is always in lowercase. Holy name. Some people think you have to put it with a capital H and a capital N because it refers to God. It's not true. Okay, italics with bold or display type. Italics should generally not be used with bold type. Here's an example of bold type. This is bold type within an advertisement. Or display type, like this. This is display type, type that's blown up, made, meant to display a title or display an author's name, something like that. That's called display type. All of that. That's all display type.
Has more space?
It's bigger. It's bigger. That's the main reason it's called display type. It displays the title. It displays bylines. Or here it displays a selection from the article. A few lines from the article are blown up to try to bring the reader's interest into the topic of the article. Get him to read. Hey? Yes, it is. So now let's see what it says about that. Italics should generally not be used with bold type in blow-ups or display types in article titles, though they may be needed for clarity. This is an exception. This is an entire blow-up in italics. And you'll notice that it says, in Bhagavad Gita there are instructions teaching us how we can gradually understand God. But Bhagavad Gita is not set in a different typeface than the rest. It's all in italics. Normally, Normally, of course, this would be Roman type, and Bhagavad Gita would be in italics. But because it's the style of the magazine to use all italics for these blow-ups, they put everything in italics, and they haven't differentiated. So it is applying this rule that italics should generally not be used. You don't want them because it looks too different from the other type. If you have one word, like here, here's a perfect example. The Yoga of the Bhagavad Gita, that's the title of this article. Now, if you put Bhagavad Gita in italic type, almost the whole second line would be slanted. But the effect that you want to create is one big title, the Yoga of the Bhagavad Gita. So you keep it all in the same typeface, and it looks stronger. It's more emphatic. Okay, so that's it. That's an example of an article title or display type. Display type without italics. Okay, the next rule. Next guideline, italics with punctuation. This has to do with text in the article. Commas, colons, and semicolons following italicized words are in italics. Question marks and exclamation points are not. Parentheses are Roman, even if the word inside them is italic. You have to watch for this. If you're in charge, if you're an editor and you're in charge of a publication, you have to have proofreaders who know your style sheet so that they will look out for things like this. And you yourself as an editor will be on the lookout for these things when you're editing. If you come across a word that's in italic followed by a semicolon, it's up to you to put the semicolon in italics if you notice it. That's part of the editor's job. You put a comma follows an italic, a word in italic, put the comma in italics. You have to catch it, or your proofreader has to catch it. Somebody has to catch it. That's because if the word is slanted in slanted type, then the comma also should slant. If it's in Roman, it'll be straight, and it'll stand out against the words, the letters that are slanting. It's a matter of aesthetics. Next one. Italics for abbreviated references. Italicize Bhag, B-H-A-G, for Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, because it's an abbreviation. Do not italicize BG for Bhagavad Gita or CC for the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because they are combinations of the initials of the two words of those titles, BG, Bhagavad Gita, and CC. So it's not actually an abbreviation. But Bhagavatam is B-H-A-G. Numbers. If a number is spoken as one or two words, spell it out. Otherwise, if it's more than one or two words, write it in numerals. For example, 300, you spell out. 365, you write in numerals. When a paragraph or section has many numbers, or has both one or two word numbers and three or more word numbers, use numerals throughout. Purport. Which is right? Purport or purport? In references, purport is uppercase. Bhagavad Gita 3.1, comma, purport. In running text, it's lowercase. Reference would be something like at the end of the magazine, if you have a footnote or something on its own. In running text, it's lowercase. In Prabhupada's purport to such and such. Of course, this reference in the first line, this could appear within a text also. This reference could appear within a text. When it's in parentheses, Bhagavad Gita 3.1. It would probably be abbreviated BG. BG 3.1, comma, purport. And the short way to do it is at the end, listed at the end, to abbreviate purport, use just a P. Suppose you're quoting words, that's the next one. Italicize rather than put in quotes, even if the word would normally be italicized. The word whatever in italics means or is. The word gan in italics is, if you're discussing that particular word. Then, page 87, there's a list of Sanskrit words that are now romanized by Back to Godhead. No longer they use italics or diacritics for these words because they're found in the dictionary. Ashram, the place, atma, avatar, bhakti, dharma, dodhi, ghat, and so on. I noticed that this list seems to include too many because in this issue I found that maya and samsara, which are on this list, are italicized here. Somehow this list is a little too much expanded. So there's some recommendation then for Indian cities, how to spell Indian cities except for Vrindavan and Mayapur and Navadvip and Dwarka. Generally just use the map name. Even for Jagannath Puri, they're doing that. Ayodhya. Do not use diacritics on the names of modern or historical Indian politicians, swamis, or folk heroes. So for these famous Indian so-called swamis, you don't use diacritics. One reason is it lends respectability. If you put their whole name in with diacritics, it lends some dignity to it. So they may be respectable or prominent, but no diacritics. But with the six Goswamis, you do that. The six Goswamis. Also at the bottom, you'll see Swami, Swami. We use diacritics on the names of previous acharyas, but not ISKCON sannyasis. Like we say, so-and-so Swami, so-and-so Goswami. Same thing for Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Well, they chose an arbitrary point. They said, at this point, we'll cut it off. Anybody before this will use modern spelling. Anybody after this will use the diacritic. It was just an arbitrary decision. Well, they picked it up. Maybe they picked it up. I know they picked it up in case of Srila Prabhupada because that's how Srila Prabhupada did it. Srila Prabhupada didn't spell his name with diacritics on Swami. So they just followed him. And the same may be true of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. I'm not sure. Maybe they also took it from him. Which sentence? The bottom? Yes, the same. In this case means ISKCON sannyasis. Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. No diacritics on Swami or Goswami. And don't say Bhaktivedanta Goswami. That's not Srila Prabhupada's name. Even though he was married before, normally married men who take sannyas are referred to as Goswami. But it's explained on the ISKCON style sheet that Srila Prabhupada took the sannyas name Swami. That's his sannyas name. So it wasn't Goswami, it was Swami. BTG uses the style book, Words into Type. The other major style book is the Chicago Manual of Style. Now here, they avoid them on living sannyasis. You have to be a dead sannyasi if you want diacritics on your name. Here is the example of part and parcel under style book at the end. One example of a trite expression according to Words into Type, or according to Nagaraj, is part and parcel. In editing articles other than Srila Prabhupada's, BTG routinely changes part and parcel to part. But as we saw, it doesn't have quite the same meaning. The meaning part and parcel means an essential part of something. So Prabhupada used it with good reason, and they still retain it when they print articles by Prabhupada, and if he says part and parcel, they retain that use. But they don't let ISKCON devotees copy Prabhupada and use part and parcel. They just change it to part. So you can't use all of Prabhupada's expressions. Why do they do that? Because they say it's now trite, it's worn out. Okay, now, I have to know something from you before I can go on. I expect you to, do some of the learning in this class yourself, because I've given a lot of material, and I've been assigning some of it as homework. And if you're not able to keep up, then of course it doesn't make sense for me to say, and now your next homework assignment is to read such and such. So I'd like to know who found time to review what we did on last Friday. We did pages 50 to 60 on punctuation, and I asked you to read that just to review it, because we didn't cover it all, right? And then I asked you to read 60 to 71, which included some two articles. So let's find out, if you don't mind telling, who had time to do that. Isfar, did you have time?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Except a few pages. Pretty much you read it. Some of it you went over. Okay. Panch Pandava is absent today. Yashodhya, you got through it? Okay. Bhakta Arvind. Okay. All right. Rasmandal, you didn't know about it. Will you have time today to read 10 or 15 pages? On the weekend, you might have had time, but not. Yes. Good. Very good. Yeah, well, today, well, just a minute. Krishna Priya has dropped this course. She didn't have time. She said she was taking two other courses and she didn't have time to continue. Adi Purush, did you? Good. Pundarik? No. And Mahajabala? You did up to page 72. You read up to page 72. Up to page 62. Okay. Anyway, if you didn't get it, if you didn't read it yet, like Rasmanda and Ujjwal, that's okay. You can, some other time you can read it. There's no requirement that you do it immediately, because you're not being tested on it, and so on. But if you want to kind of stay up to speed, then you can read it. Now today we went through pages 73 to 87 very quickly. That's 15 pages. If you want to, you can review that stuff or read it. Yes, that's what I'm coming to now. That's what I'm coming to. Tomorrow, I'll take any questions that you have on any of the reading that you're doing. If you have any questions, please bring them. Tomorrow we'll start also going over some lists that were prepared by Jayadvaita Swami and some other guidelines that he prepared. And a reading list that's recommended. We can talk about some of the books that are helpful. So we'll go up to page 99 tomorrow. At the most, we'll go up to about page 99 tomorrow. And then in the next day, we'll read. There's a long article coming up, which you can start reading now if you want, rather than trying to read it all in one night. It's from pages 99 to 107. This is the longest, most thorough article that I'm going to expect you to read in the course. It has to do with making decisions about editing another person's writing. I'd like you to read this carefully. So start now if you can. And tomorrow night is also available time to read this article. By Wednesday you should have read this article from pages 99 to 107. Yeah, but it's all like this. If you want to prepare for class tomorrow, look at pages 88 to 99. There's a whole bunch of word lists, hundreds of words listed. You might want to look them over and ask questions about them. If you know any good books on editing, bring the titles with us, bring a description of the books with us, bring the book if you want, and show us the book. We welcome any contributions you have. We can add titles to this list. Tomorrow I'm going to start the class by something that I hope will catch your interest right away. I'm going to go through one article in the Back to Godhead and point out some of the mistakes that are still in the article, editorial mistakes. You can do this on your own too. This is an interesting exercise. You can open the Back to Godhead and look for any things that you think could be improved editorially. I'm going to point out about a half a dozen mistakes in this article. We'll start there tomorrow. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, glorious Srila Prabhupada.